It's a Saturday night, and we are live right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with you this time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's blowout win over the visiting Badgers of Wisconsin. Crimson Tide gets it done in impressive fashion. We're going to work through takeaways as well. So if you're in that live chat, go ahead, file in there. Get your comments, your thoughts, your questions ready. David Labowitz is in the questions and comments in the chat right now. He's already ready to talk Alabama, Georgia. I mean, we still got a bye week, and maybe we'll get into some of that as we get later on in the program. He wants to know percentages, chances do you think Alabama has to beat Georgia, given how both teams played today? Very impressive performance, a lot of resiliency, a lot of what you would expect from Kirby Smart's program at this point in his tenure, too, in terms of hanging in there when things looked very, very bleak. And a lot of times that speaks more to the time a coach has had in a program as anything else. I mean, Kirby's been there a long time now. What is this, 12 years now for Kirby? Back home in Athens. So, that takes a little while, but boy, what a resilient effort. We'll get maybe more into that later, David, but we appreciate you chiming in nonetheless. Again, we'll work into some of the Georgia stuff as we certainly move throughout the week right here on Ryer on YouTube. But for now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Alabama, Wisconsin from very earlier in the day. How about that? 11 Central kickoff. Crimson Tide didn't look like it slept late, although that first series come up a little bit short on a fourth down opportunity. But from that point forward, it was Ty Simpson from a week ago, 24 of 29, 382, four tutties. Could have been better, right? I mean, could have been five touchdowns. Had the drop by Ryan Williams, but Ryan was great. I know we talked about this on Talking Tide midweek. We kind of addressed that, I thought, Chase and myself, with no uncertain terms as to what we felt about that narrative, that small minority, I got to think. Maybe even some trolls helping to fan that along a little bit. That, you know, maybe Alabama better off without Ryan Williams. And look, Ryan again today left a little bit out there. But 5 for 165, his first 100-yard game in almost a calendar year for the sophomore from South Alabama. Two touchdowns, a long of 75. That was about the damnedest screen I've ever seen, right? When you get the whole offensive line out there. Caden Proctor was having some fun out in front of that thing, too. And, yes, big Mike Carroll was in there at right tackle on that play. I think Jaden Roberts was in there at right guard. So you had kind of subbed out your starters there. And it wasn't a situation with Carroll either where, you know, they subbed him in after the game was under control. I mean, Alabama had control of the game, it felt like. But that had the feel of we're getting Michael Carroll in the game at right tackle. Kind of like last year when you had a bit of a rotation at a couple of spots on that offensive line. But good to see those guys get their opportunities and perform really well when they did. I know we'll get into the Alabama rushing attack or lack thereof. 72 rushing yards for Alabama in the game on 22 carries, 3.3 per carry. Had one rushing touchdown. That came from Jeremy Bernard. Two more touchdowns for Jeremy against Wisconsin. Tweeted this out after that first touchdown of the game because that was a fourth. It was a fourth down play from inside the 10. You needed 2 yards, right? I think get a first down at the one, first and goal from the one. And Ryan Grubb lets you know who he continues to trust, who he has the utmost trust for. Because I guess we can add sort of like, you know, short yardage running back to Jeremy Bernard's resume. And Jeremy Bernard has a kind of running back body type and skill set, especially after the catch. You saw that on his touchdown on the dig route. Beautifully thrown ball from Ty on that one, by the way. And really good protection. I mean, we get on this offensive line, and I still think there were some things that you could get on them about from Saturday. Still a little too inconsistent. And that's a little bit problematic considering who's on deck. But on the touchdown to Bernard and getting out in front of Ryan on his 75-yarder, you saw some really, really good things. Now, again, for Ty Simpson, it is nothing short of a historic run over these last couple of games. And give Ryan Grubb some credit, too. He's dialing it up. And as much as anything, Ty seems like he's settling in. You know, again, on Saturday, I thought in the first series, feet looked a little hot. At times. And I understand he doesn't always get the best protection. And I think we're hopefully getting Jam Miller back for Georgia, maybe most important is in pass protection. Saw Richard Young, and I'll give it up to those Wisconsin linebackers, by the way. Those Wisconsin linebackers, you had 0 Allegro and 4 Curtis, the USC transfer. Those are two really, really good inside linebackers. And they brought it in the pass rush, too. Richard Young got a face in the fan. He got a up-close and personal experience. I give Richard Young a lot of credit. I mean, he will put his face in the fan. But against some of these guys like Georgia is going to throw at you in a couple weeks, and even like what Wisconsin threw at you today, you got to bring more than a willingness. You got to bring every bit of that 215, 220 pounds. And I thought after that, you saw that kind of register with Richard Young when he had those opportunities as the game moved on. But Ty was decisive. You know, watching Georgia and Alabama today, I felt like Ty and Gunnar Stockton are similar in a lot of ways. I don't think either one of them is as good a runner as they think they are. Yeah, I think both of them think they're probably plus or to really good runners. I don't necessarily buy that with either of those quarterbacks. I'll say this from Ty. When he does get the opportunity to hit his back foot and deliver it from the pocket, I'll take him. And, boy, Stockton was great. I mean, the fourth down today and dropping the dime to London Humphrey, that was a hell of a throw. But I do think they're close. And in terms of probably intangibles, too, I think both those guys are winners. You know, I think it means a whole lot to them. So, but Ty, once again, with a big, big game. Let's talk about who he sort of targeted in this game on Saturday at Bryant-Denny Stadium. And, yeah, we already talked about Ryan Williams. How about the strike to Isaiah Horton for the touchdown, too, by the way? That was NFL-y, that throw. And that was also, that was Wisconsin's top corner by a good bit. One of the better corners probably in the entire Big Ten, and Ricardo Hallman. We talked about Hallman on Talking Tide midweek. And Hallman wasn't in bad shape. And that ball was just ripped in there. And he ripped the one in there to Ryan, too. Lotsier Brooks had a drop. So when you really look at Ty's numbers for this game, and I look, it's part of it. You're not going to have many 100% clean games between the quarterbacks and the receivers. But Isaiah Horton, 5 catches, 48 yards, a touchdown. Jeremy Bernard, 4 catches, 62 yards, touchdown. So a nice spreading of the wealth. Kevin Riley showed you once again that he can still continue to get it done as a receiver. He had one really difficult catch. His body control, and I know his body type isn't maybe typical of backs that you've seen at Alabama, but this dude has great body control as a receiver. We've already seen it in just about every game, the first 3 games. And then some toughness to hang on through the contact. Josh Cuevas, 3 catches for 22 yards. Lotsier had 2 for 30. We also saw Dre Washington get in there. Dre Washington came into that game really about the time I feel like he can be of most benefit for you most weeks, and that's around the third quarter. You know, if you're able to kind of wear down a defense, not that Alabama really did that today with the run game. And I got it today. I know there's some people, and I agree, against Georgia, you're going to have to muster some semblance of a run game. But, you know, if you're able to still throw it to your backs as well, like you threw it for 28 yards to Kevin Riley, you threw it for 15 yards to Dre Washington. Washington coming in there really in the third quarter, you know, where he's got some pop. He's got fresh legs and some juice. And A.K. Deer, too, by the way. We saw A.K. Deer again this week, the freshman running back who really has that extra gear that maybe the rest of that room, sans Dre Washington, doesn't quite have. I know A.K., which is two carries for 9 yards, but he lost, like, what, a 25-yarder? 25-yarder there in the second half to a penalty. So continue to see some positive things from him as well. So that was kind of your breakdown. Caleb Edwards, the freshman tight end, still seeing a lot of those different tight ends in the game on Saturday, but Caleb Edwards is sort of maintaining that spot up there with Josh Cuevas. Defensively, you know, you didn't give up really much of anything while the game was on the line. And that was some complimentary football there. Something I wanted to talk about really with this team was, when were we really going to see that against at least a semi-legitimate opponent? We saw it last week against ULM. I mean, all three phases. But it was good to see it early in the game on Saturday, because you had the disappointment of coming up short on the fourth down on your initial possession, but then the defense goes out there and gets you the football. Gets it right back for you. Bray Hubbard with the first of two interceptions. Bray Hubbard said he heard it. He heard the Florida State criticism. I guess he did. He goes out there, and on the snap following the fourth down failure for Alabama, picks the ball off, sets the Crimson Tide up in a, well, pretty good spot. And Crimson Tide proceeds to go offensively, 11 plays, 61 yards and a touchdown. And that really spurred those five straight possessions with a touchdown. Once this offense really gets its legs under it, five straight touchdown drives and six straight scoring drives dating from the first quarter, late first quarter, through kind of the early stages, I guess, of the late stages of the third quarter. Yeah, had a 12-play, 73-yard field goal drive. Had a couple of drives that didn't go 2 minutes. I mean, 3 minutes anyway. Touchdown drives. Well, the 75-yarder to Ryan, 15 seconds. You had a 4-play, 65-yard touchdown drive there in the second quarter, early second quarter, that only took a minute and 46. So what about this Alabama defense? Well, statistically, you like what you saw at the top of the box for the defense. Deontay Lawson, Justin Jefferson, Nakai Hill-Green, those were your three leading tacklers, your triumvirate of inside linebackers led you in tackles. They combined for 21 tackles between the three of them. Big day again for Bray Hubbard. He had five tackles. Thought he did a good job. I thought the DBs in general were much better, because they're going to see a lot of these same concepts that they saw against Florida State, that they struggled, you know, they were miserable against Florida State with. So until your corners and your safety start running alleys and, you know, kind of making people pay for some things in the quick game and in the perimeter game, you're going to keep seeing it. You're going to see tight ends too. I thought Wisconsin hit some things to the tight end today that you're going to see from Georgia, because Georgia loves those tight ends. So, you know, you're going to see that. I thought pass rush was a big emphasis coming into this. LT Overton gets home early for his first sack. Well, I mean, it was Alabama's first sack of the season, right? Finished the game with four sacks, and those were all of your tackles for loss, couple of takeaways. You know, Xavier Brown, got beat for the one touchdown, but he did have a pass breakup, so that was good to see. And then yet did also have three quarterback hurries, which, man, these young guys that are being asked to play with Keenan and also Beeman out, Vonga, one of those in the game today, had a quarterback hurry, showed some nice sort of, you know, alter moves other than just being a one trick pony, especially for a young guy? And then of course, London Simmons getting another start as a true freshman right there in the middle of that defensive line, producing one of those four sacks. And then he also had another quarterback hurry. So a lot of positives, as you might expect, to come out of the game. You know, other than some penalties here and there that you need to continue to try to clean up. Offensive line play, Michael Carroll to me was one of the big bright spots. Just a guy that for such a young player, and I understand it's gonna get a lot tougher from here. And I'm going to go ahead and assume if you played him like you did against Wisconsin, your plan is in some form or fashion in two more weeks to play him against Georgia, whether that's rotating with Wilkin Formby or however you go about that. The thing that struck me about Michael Carroll in this game was that he was kind of put in mid-game. You know, he didn't have sort of the benefit. And sometimes it's a good thing that a young guy doesn't start. You know, you kind of put him in there and it's under the radar almost. Nobody really notices for a possession or two. But he just looked so stress-free in how he went about his business. And you sort of saw this even against ULM last week. Jackson Lloyd, too. I'm going to tell you, Jackson Lloyd, I don't think's that far behind, except he just isn't the massive sort of individual that Carroll is right now. I mean, Carroll physically looks like a third-year type of guy. But then in terms of trusting himself and his technique being where it is for a young guy, I think Lloyd and Carroll are natural type of pass setters. You know, sometimes you watch the first two guys and it's by any means necessary, just try to hang in. You know, the technique sometimes goes out the window and then it just turns into like a barroom fight. You're just doing whatever you can do to survive. I didn't see that from Michael Carroll today. So, Chris Kapilovic, you got you one. I think you already knew that. And, you know, we'll see how that is moving forward. Let's get into some comments too tonight. Let's do that. Paul Witt, our pal, chiming in. Carroll at right tackle is the move. I think Paul's ready full time. He's ready to see it. Michael Carroll, I couldn't really argue with you at this point. I mean, he just looks like when you go back and you think about the Andre Smiths and the Cam Robinsons and the Jonah Williams and the guys that we've seen jump in there at tackle. And look, some of these guys, you know, like Evan Neal, they were inside first. Then they went outside. This guy's jumping in there. And yeah, that's right tackle. And yes, I know they helped him a little bit at times, you know, put a tight end over there with him, but I never got the sense that he really needed it. Very, very good, Michael Carroll in the game against Wisconsin. Bama Mimi chiming in here in the comments. Proud to see Yonze Pierre. He is from my hometown. Well, good for you, Mimi. He was. Ran a nice game with Deontay Lawson to get home. Yonze did for one of those four Alabama sacks. And he's a guy that's been a constant. You know, he was a little bit overlooked. I think a lot of people were talking more about the younger guys because Yonze's been around for about 3 years now. Maybe Justin Hill a little bit more going into the season. Noah Carter maybe going into the season. Obviously, Quay Rousseau was going to be at the top of that depth chart. But Yonze looks and is playing, more importantly, like that kind of guy you want on the edge. Just got a suddenness to him, that length, and did a nice job getting to the quarterback. So good to see. Jack says, nice to see some original play calling. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it helps too, you know, when people settle into the game and kind of play within the structure of the offense or commit themselves a little bit more to it. Grubb did a nice job. I know the run game. I know. But as I said earlier, those two inside linebackers for Wisconsin can really get after it. And they were playing downhill. And so play action was going to be there, first or second down. And the earlier, probably the better. And I think that's where Grubb was really, really good in this game. You know, you can run the ball just for the sake of running it. But, you know, if you can take chunks out of somebody off of play action because they're sucking up on it so hard in the middle of the field like Alabama was, Alabama averaged 13 yards per pass attempt. You're not going to stop doing that to say, you know what, this is 13 yards per attempt, not per completion. Alabama had 9 pass plays of 15 yards or more. Ty did. You're not going to stop taking that on first or second down if play action is just devastating an opponent. And so they pretty much stuck with it. And that's where Hans is chiming in. Yeah, look, as I said earlier, you still have to have some threat of a run game. You know, even if you don't run for 100 yards in the game against Georgia, it has to be a threat every time you play action off of it or show it one way and to get something you want maybe another way. There has to be a threat of it in this era of college football. It doesn't have to be 200 yards per game. If you're, again, hitting just explosives after explosives because of what you're getting off of it, you're probably going to be all right. Paul Witt back in here says, Ty in a clean pocket is a surgeon. That's what it's looking like. I mean, I know you can say that about really any quarterback, but he has the ability to really make all the throws. I mean, like Stockton for Georgia, we were talking about. There's times where I wonder a little bit into half from midfield. Can he get it to the end zone? Things like that. He's a gamer, I think. But I don't think he's the passer even Stetson Bennett was. I think Gunnar Stockton's retro. And I'm not saying that Ty's the passer that Tua was or some of these other guys, but, you know, he's only going to get better, you got to think. And there's not any question about zip and also the ability to make layered throws. And we talked about this in regard to Austin Mack last week. He's got 102 mile an hour fastball. You just want to see him continue to develop in a way where he's got another pitcher too, you know, to go along with it. CC216 chiming in says the Georgia running game looks stronger than ours, unless Wisconsin against the run better than UT. More concerns about the run game. You know, different games, different defenses that you're going against. Tennessee, I believe, lost a pretty good bit from that defense from a year ago. That was legitimately tough to run against. I do agree in that in the overtime of that Georgia-Tennessee game, to me, it came down to 2 run plays. Tennessee tried early in its possession to run sort of to the edge a little bit, you know, kind of almost off tackle. C-gap, something like that. Maybe B, BC. And Georgia just set an edge, man. Georgia set a big edge and got people to the football and stuffed it. And that kind of set up what followed. And Tennessee made the field goal. Georgia comes out there and gets a chunk down inside the 5. What, the 2 or 3, something like that, to set up the winning touchdown. And that's what I think a lot of Alabama and Georgia will probably come down to in a couple Saturdays. You know, who can kind of take care of that? CC said Dre had some pop. I'm not sure if CC's talking about Dre Washington. Yeah, we know Dre Kirkpatrick was suspended for the first half. He did have a tackle in the game. Dre Washington, yeah. I mean, he had a nice sequence there. I thought he had a nice run, and then they kind of went back to him with the pass game. Brian Crane checking in, says, always the best real analysis. Wow, thanks, Brian. You take Venmo still, right? All right, just checking. Cash App? Oh, okay. I got you. Nick Riggs, how's Overton's injury? And will Alabama have the jam TK back in 2 weeks? You know, listened to Kalen post game. I don't think I heard anything. I saw the situation with Overton, but I don't think I heard anything specific from Kalen. I didn't think it was anything severe. I think it was interesting too, from a depth perspective. You know, we did see Keon Keeley some, and some other guys, you know, Jordan Renaud, some of those guys. And the question about Jam and Tim Keenan back in 2 weeks. Kalen didn't specifically name them, but he said something to the effect that he's very hopeful, you know, that Alabama will get those. He said two guys, a couple of guys, which I take to mean, obviously, Jam and TK. I mean, I know you've had some other guys out, Beeman, obviously, which that didn't sound like more of a short-term situation at all. So Danny Lewis has been out, so we'll have to see exactly. But, I mean, based on how it seems to have been trending here in the last week or so, yeah, I would take that to mean that they're in a pretty good place with Jam Miller and Tim Keenan. Paul Witt says, y'all subscribe and hit that like for my guy. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate that, my man. Steven wants more push from the OL. Yeah, I know. I'm not going to. Here's where I worry about running the football more than ever, or more a specific area that I think about it. I think about it in the situational run game. I mean, third and short, fourth and short, and goal line, essentially. And look, Alabama could play, Steven, better than it played up front against Wisconsin, against Georgia, and still have a tough time. I will say this, and Steven's chiming in here with our Alabama's lines may have a tough time again. Yeah, they might. I mean, you know, it used to be, even with Saban, it was kind of a mirror game. You felt like you were looking in the mirror when your offensive and defensive lines went against each other. So it very well could be. You know, it could be a tough game for Georgia's offensive line. I still don't see Georgia's offensive line, this offensive line we saw today, is along the lines of what we had seen even a couple of years ago. They weren't very good up front last year. They had some injuries that were a part of that. And they've lost some of those guys. And I don't think they're elite. You know, I don't think Alabama's offensive line is elite either. Not for what people want to see it do on a consistent basis. So situational run game in that game two Saturdays from now, third and shorts, you know, hard yards, 4 minute offense, things like that. Yeah, I did see that, CC. CC chiming in about Stockton had to be subbed out for the deep shot before the half. Yep. What else do we have here? That's what you want from a captain, Steven. You want Tim Keenan over there getting everybody up, getting everybody ready to go. Nick says that Caden Proctor was better today. I think he was. I thought he was, you know, as we talked about earlier, it was fun watching him out in front of Ryan Williams. I mean, there are still some one-on-ones where he gets stuck a little bit, you know? And so we'll see how that continues as we get into that Georgia game. Boy, I mean, it looked like for a minute there, you talk about total. That was huge for Georgia today, because it was going to be total desperation mode for the Bulldogs. And Alabama, and the thing for Alabama when you look ahead to Georgia is that, as I said about the offensive line, you can play your best game of the year on the road at Georgia and still come up short. And there's not going to be any, not that there ever really is with Alabama football, but if that is the case, there's not going to be any, well, you know what? They played better. They're improved. No, because you're still going to have two losses. You know, and that's where that Florida State loss could stick with you all season long. Although, as we've seen in the ACC, even today, how about Georgia Tech? The 55-yard field goal at the gun to give Clemson its second loss already. To Lossville before the end of September, that's tough. Now, you know, that's why it's going to be so big for Alabama coming up in a couple weeks. Special teams wise, Connor Talty, he got rid of that that Bryant Denny curse, I guess. Made another field goal at Bryant Denny. 33 yards. It was kind of a buzzkill because you basically had a touchdown to Ryan Williams go off his hands. So you settled for the three, but Talty makes good on it. Blake Dowd, we actually saw him punt this week a couple times for a 45.5 yard average. That's going to be big against Georgia too, because Georgia can punt it and Georgia can kick it. Always, you know, you can go back to damn Kevin Butler if you want to. And they can return it pretty well. You know, Zachariah Branch coming over from USC, kind of George's Ryan Williams, had that big catch and run, kind of like Ryan Branch did today against Tennessee in that wild game up in Knoxville. We got some games, I guess, at half now. I got the four screen multi view up, and Florida and LSU I'm checking out. I've got Vandy. There's some good primetime football tonight, isn't there? What about Ole Miss and Arkansas? Just hammered again. That game every year, it seems like, is kind of that way, isn't it? Bobby Petrino and Lane dialing it up in Oxford. Looked like Ole Miss had some quarterback health issues. Anything else before we get out of here? Steven, DeBoer coaches his teams up for big games. Yeah, they've been pretty good. Wow, Texas A&M, I just saw, is up on Notre Dame now, 28-24. It hadn't been the big stages, really, that have been the problem for Kalen DeBoer's team. I mean, Florida State to open the season is a pretty big stage, and that was about as poorly prepared and ready to play as I've seen a DeBoer team to this point. But to your point, you know, obviously we're ready to go against Georgia. You know what, Tennessee, Georgia, I was thinking about this too. Tennessee, Georgia today was Alabama, Georgia last year, except Georgia won. It really was. I mean, although, you know, Tennessee saved itself maybe. Do you think the Tennessee fans rush the field for Georgia today if they end up winning that game? Save themselves some money. Georgia saved them some money there. CC back in here in the comments. Listen to Georgia radio during the game today. This OL is still getting younger players up and running. And in the radio team for Georgia, we're thrilled. I think you would be, because to win that game today with an OL that I didn't think was great and, you know, be able to do enough on the ground to win. Yeah, they should be. Kind of like for Alabama, what you hope the last 2 weeks, if you're an Alabama fan, have helped with this team, this Alabama team, is that psychologically as much as anything else. And are they finally reaching a point where they can be trusted to perform consistently? I think that's what Georgia was looking for. They beat Austin Peay last week, what, 28-6? Let's see. CC says he'd rather face Georgia coming off a win than a loss. Something else I was thinking about during that game today too. I think both Georgia and Alabama right now probably would rather play next Saturday than have the week off. I mean, you got a hot quarterback like this right now if you're Alabama, and just, I guess Georgia more so than Alabama is happy about the bye week, because that took a lot of gas out of the tank, even in week three today for the Dogs, and you were on the road. I think if you're Alabama, the biggest thing you would like is to go ahead and play Georgia next Saturday instead of Georgia having the week off to kind of recollect itself and get, you know, recharged after what it went through. Because Alabama hasn't really been tested the last 2 weeks. Been able to play people late in games, things like that. It took every bit of everything. Georgia had to use about two games worth to win that game today up in Knoxville. Anything else before we get out of here, gang, on a Saturday night? We're going to get you back to some of this primetime football. It looks like, what are we getting ready for the third quarter? LSU up 13-10 on the Gators. Billy Napier fighting for his life. And as always, appreciate each and every one of you for chiming in and checking in live here. We will have continuing coverage of the Alabama Crimson Tide on Sunday right here on Ryer on YouTube. So if you haven't, subscribed to the channel as of yet, you need to go ahead and do that, because, and also hit that notification bell, because then you'll be notified when content's going to drop. Steven asking here, second watch coming? Yeah, I'm thinking so, Steven. Didn't really, wasn't going to do one after ULM, but yeah, we'll probably check in tomorrow with a second watch, and then we're expecting to have Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News for Talking Tide, and then we'll roll into the bye week, but we'll have a lot of other coverage right here on Ryer on YouTube as well. As always, again, thanks for tuning in, and until next time, so long, everybody.